one for you. Anybody not get a cup? I got one. This is a very costly cup right here. It's highly decorated. Highly. It is completely sealed and coated. It has a special stitching with glue down the side. And the bottom, my friend, even substitute as a little makeshift drum. How about that? But don't hit it too hard. It's very delicate. This thing will poke. And I shouldn't have said that. Let me and the little kids want to play now. The little drum, amen. Well, hey, I hope you brought your cup. But let's start off with the scriptures first, and we'll have some enjoyment tonight in the house of the Lord. Open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, the 23rd Psalm, amen. The 23rd Psalm. I love the Psalms. I love reading the Psalms. I'm not going to tell you that I fully understand the Psalms, but I like reading the Psalms because that which I do read, I can enjoy, amen, the Psalms. There's a lot of encouragement in the Psalms, especially in the times of great sorrow. In the times of great sorrow. And many times we read this Psalm when we go to a funeral. I remember one day, I was a police chaplain in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I volunteered to travel with the police officers through the streets. And one police officer got this call. And he needed to get to it fast. So I held on and we flew out to a scene. It was a double homicide. I won't go into full details, but this gang came in, and one of the guys in the gang shot a man at his own door. And that man's brother chased the gang off with a 30-30 and lowered it and took out one of the gang members. Now, one of the gang members' moms, the mom of that boy that got shot, showed up. And by the time we got there, the street was already taped off. Everything's taped off. They want to do everything right, but sometimes the community doesn't understand that the police are just trying to do their job. And although they had the actual scene taped off, they moved out and they taped another section off to give the police a buffer from the crime scene. But within that buffer was this mom, and she was crying. And I walked up to her because as a chaplain, that was my job to try to bring comfort. As a pastor, that's my job to try to bring comfort. As a Christian, that's my job to try to bring comfort. And I walked up to her and I asked her, "Ma'am, are you a Christian?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "Yes." But in fact, my family, the rest of my family is at the church right now. They're getting ready to come home. They don't know what's going to happen. And I walked up the center line of this busy street right through the middle of Charlotte. Right down the center line. No traffic was coming through there. I'll tell you what, they had that thing sectioned off. And so I walked with her down this center line, quoting to her this wonderful passage, the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." Amen. Let's look at this chapter a little bit as we walk through it to the closure thereof. And here's my statement: my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. We thank You, Lord, for tonight. We praise You, dear God, for all that You've done for us. Lead us and guide us this evening. And Lord, as we see this simple truth, but a deep truth, that, dear Lord, that we can hold on to for when troubles and trials come. And, dear Lord, even when they're not there, we can reflect back and, oh, how our cup overflows. Lord, we love You. We praise You. Bless this evening, however it may lead. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, did you bring a cup? Who's got a real cup? Amen. Amen. You got it. Let's go to pastor's side first. All right. Let's go see these cups. I got my glasses so I can see what everything says. Amen. Now, pastor didn't bring the cup. Is this isn't the one that you would have brought, right? No, it's not the one. So I can have this one then, because he said I couldn't have his coffee cup. But this is. But anyways, he's Hawaii. I'm doing fine. How are you? Nice palm trees. That's probably a picture of Florida. But they just put Hawaii underneath it. Let's see what it is, made in China. Fine China. My drum sounds a whole lot better than that. Amen. Amen. And this Miss Chris's? I like Mrs. Chris. This is it. Oh, it's a little teddy bear that says, I love you. We won't go there. Amen. She can hear me. Wonderful. She in the nursery? Wonderful. Miss Chris, this is a beautiful cup. I like it. It's wonderful. And Miss Chris, we love you too. Amen. Okay. Let's see what else we got. Oh, he's in. He wants to get in. Remember the message this morning, get in? He's in. He's got one of those special cups. How about you folks back here? They're in too. Oh, look at that. There's another one. She's in. Amen. Hey, we're in. You're not in. What's yours say? Oh, how do I begin this one? It's all black. It says, this is a lump of coal. Naughty, not nice. Oh, wow. Wow. You know, sometimes cups speak really a lot about the people that have them. Just saying. I mean, I'm just saying. That's not my cup, I tell you that. Not mine. That's a beautiful picture there. Farm scene with a sheep. American Homestead Spring. Courier and Ives. Those Courier and Ives, they made a lot of things, didn't they? Yeah. Wonderful. Oh, this is a Ben Franklin mug. Look at that. Woo-hoo! Look at that. We know who's got the money in this church. Woo-hoo! Yeah, we know who's got the money here. Let's go in the back. How are you folks? Yeah, hey, they're in. Amen. The sound man's in. And now to the back row. Hey, this family. They're in. Amen. They're in. What we got? Oh, hey, all the way down that hole. That whole row is in. How about that? There they are. In. How about these folks up here? Wow, y'all are really out. Hey, who didn't get these guys a mug? Somebody get these guys a mug from somewhere, right? All right. You can't read. That's okay, brother. I can't either. I fake it. You know that. Oh, kindred spirit there. Let me move along. Oh, Charlie says, happy retirement. Happy retirement. That was 12 years ago? So this is an old cup. It's 12 years old. That's an old cup. Nah, my drum sounds a whole lot better than yours. Yes, ma'am. What's that? Sweetie Pie bought it for you. Sweetie Pie bought it for you. Amen. Aren't you glad you got a Sweetie Pie, Charlie? Amen. I'm glad Charlie's got a Sweetie Pie. And she's the honey. Amen. Because her cup's got little bears with honey on it. So you just called her Sweetie Pie. I thought you called her honey. No. Hey, they're in. Amen. They're in. Matching set. That's right. Okay, I'll catch these over here. Yes, ma'am. Chocolate is always the answer. I got that. Chocolate. Amen. Shall we vote this lady into the high club? Amen. Chocolate is the answer. Well, yes, sir. For your younger days, Clark Kent in disguise here. Amen. Amen. Hey, it even sparkles. That is nice. I got one just like that at home, and I'm glad I didn't bring mine. Because you have it. Fellowship Baptist Church, the family church. Amen. Where'd you get this mug? Downstairs. These look like mugs that I used to have at my church, at Fellowship Baptist Church in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania. What's that? Doesn't hold much. Well, you don't need much. But as long as it holds the right thing. Amen. As long as it holds right. Yes, sir. He did tape it on her. Look at there. Not only is it a musical mug with some notes on it, but it's got the funny money, the apprehensive states of America, the phony $3 bill with Hillary Clinton on the front going, ah! That's what we're going to do if she gets elected. We're going to go, ah! We're going to be permanently locked in that phase there. Yes, ma'am. You want to sit by me? Well, I don't have a seat. I'm walking. Did you get a cup? Oh, I got to get you a cup. Maggie, give me a cup. Boom. Maggie knows the message. She's already got a cup. There you go. That's Maggie's. Well, I'm going to put it here for later because you might need that. Hey, lady. He's in. All right, these ladies. What they got? Guys, what you got? Let me see, guys. I like yours first. Dun, 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 dun. The first order. First order. He's the first order. By seeing the Star Wars, what's that got to do with First Order? That's the name of the new emperor, the first. This is the bad guys. This is the new bad guys. And they're wearing white. Remember Tombstone? Black is the new good. Should wear a black suit. Amen. All righty. Good deal. Yes, ma'am. What you got? Ooh, look at there. Queen of everything. Even has a crown. Look at that. We all knew that, didn't we, Your Highness? Here you go. It's all clean, madam. Dun, dun, dun. Mornings aren't magical. Oh, my. It's Tinkerbell with a hangover. You see that, preacher? You see that? You see that, preacher? She's got a coffee cup with pixie powder in it. I like it. Yes, ma'am. See? I see. I see, senor. I see. I see. C is for cookie. It's good enough for me. Hey, C is for coffee. It's good enough for me. You go, King. That'll preach right there. Amen. Down on the front row. Last but not least, hang on to that one. How about 5,000? It's got a 5K on it. Could be. This cup has been through the mill. It's even cracked, and you re-glued it? That's dedication. Hey, this man is the real deal in coffee drinking right there. He is the real deal. There you go. Ma'am? It's okay. It's all right. All right. Now I'm ready. Let me see this famous mug. What is it? This is Scoozer. Everybody say hi, Scoozer. Hi, Scoozer. Scoozer's a little bashful. Scoozer, hey, come back here. Scoozer, come on, back here. It's okay, buddy. This is a hedgehog. Ow. Ooh. Scoozer needs a bath. Scoozer needs a bath. Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike. I'm glad you told me. Is it a creamer? It's a family relic. Is this the one that gets passed around as the joke that nobody wants? The white elephant, everybody. The white elephant. Amen. This stays in the family, though. Yeah, stays in the family. I mean, come on. David, if you drink out of this mug this way, what happens? I'm not. I'm not even going to demonstrate that either. There's your moose! Amen. A moose for the moose. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad you got your mug. You know, many cases, when we do have our favorite mug, often it has writing on it. It's something that's a bit of our personality, of who we are. Unless you just went to the cabinet and grabbed something and brought it, you know. That's one thing. But if you have a favorite mug, one that you utilize all the time, it's often going to be one that you like, hey, I like that. Or it's something that helps you to remember something. I've got a couple in the camper. I've gotten rid of some of them, but that I've used all the time that I really like. Some from memory. We went to Jamestown, and I bought a nice coffee mug from Jamestown. It had the little ship on the side of it, and that is just a good memory for me. But there's one that I have that my wife bought me. It says, as you wish. So when she asked me to do something, I need to say, as you wish. Guys, it really helps as you say, as you wish. Amen. And so little things that help us to remember. You know, this passage of Scripture helps us to remember who God is and who we are in relation to Him and how things can really go well for the child of God. But we have to put our faith in Him and our trust in Him. So let's get in the message tonight. Amen. Hold on to your cup because I'm going to come back to it. So, well, I got one of these. This means nothing about me. Well, personalize it. Put your name on it. Draw a picture on it. But just kind of think of this cup, as your heart tonight. And is your cup full and overflowing? Here's a little poem for you. Somebody turned it into a song. It's called I'm Drinking from My Saucer. It goes like this. I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now, but I don't worry about that much. I'm happy anyhow. And as I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Haven't got a lot of riches, except that lady back there. Amen. She got the $100 mug. Amen. I haven't got a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's tough. But I've got loving ones around me, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for His blessings and the mercies He's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Oh, remember the times when things went wrong? My faith wore somewhat thin. But all at once the dark clouds broke and sun peeked through again. So, Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough roads that I've hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. And if God gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. May I never be too busy to help others bear their loads. Then I'll keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Amen. You see, our cup overflows. It's a thing that God's given us, that God is blessing with us. When we look at this passage, it starts with the source. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, David was a shepherd, the psalmist that wrote this. He was a shepherd. And shepherd, no shepherd talk. Police, I told you I was a chaplain with the police department for a while. And police have their own talk. They have this sense of humor. They call it morbid humor. They take something that's really dark and really, really sorrowful, and they put a little spin on it and make it a joke. Morbid humor. That's how they talk. Preachers, we have our own way of talking when we get around each other. We talk about you. But really, we don't gossip. Preachers, we don't gossip. No. We fellowship. We try to help each other, encourage each other, and seek advice from one another. One godly man to another godly man to be a great blessing. I can tell you a lot of things about you. No, preacher doesn't tell me. I don't ask because I don't want to know. I don't want to know. But here David, the shepherd, has shepherd talk, and he knows how to talk like a shepherd. And he knows sheep, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is the one who's watching over me. He's the one that sees for my need. He's the one that's watching over the safety of me and the flock. And you as a child of God, you as one of His precious sheep, the Savior is your shepherd. He's your shepherd. And as a shepherd, we see here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because really, the Lord has been too good to us. Too good to us. But we definitely have more than we deserve. More than what we deserve. It says here, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, for a sheep, that's some doing. Because see, I'd rather lay down on the nice, plush, green pastures. When we went out west, I saw the rough, rock, dirt of the desert where there is no grass, no trees, just a bunch of tumbling tumbleweeds. I'd say that'd be rough sleeping asleep on that ground. I'd say that'd be rough. But the good shepherd, He doesn't lead us off to the rough. He leads us to the green pastures. You know what, to a sheep, that's a posture pedic right there, buddy. That's a number bed right there. Whatever you fancy, that's a nice pillow top, buddy. Oh, yeah, you think, oh, yeah, to a sheep. And can I tell you something? When you have the Lord in your heart and He's leading and He's guiding you, He maketh you to lie down in green pastures and He gives you rest. But not only that, it says here, He leadeth me beside the still waters. The still waters. Not the turbulent waters. The still waters. There are times that we will face turbulent waters. There are times that we may face storm-like waters. And it's when we run to the shepherd, when we run to the master of the sea and pray for Him to come and say, peace, be still. I wonder how it was with those disciples on the ship when they thought the ship was going under. These were sailors. These were fishermen. These are folks that were out there all the time. And here, they're fearing for their own life. And Jesus is in the back of the boat. And they wake Him up saying, Jesus, we're about to die. Oh, ye of little faith, He said to them. And He walked to the bow and He said, peace, be still. And the winds and the seas obeyed. Obeyed. I wonder, preacher, if it was calm like glass. A calm waters. You see, sheep are dumb. Sheep are really dumb. They're very easy to frighten. They really are. They don't like troubled waters. For the Lord, our good shepherd, He knows which waters to lead us to. He leads to the green pastures, the soft place for rest. He leads us to the still waters of refreshing drinks unto Him. He says here also, He restoreth my soul. Have you ever been empty? Kind of reference to the cup. You ever been just empty and dry? Traveling through the desert and going soul winning in the desert. The preacher out there that was with me, he said, you need to get some water, Brother Holtzclaw. We've been out there for a couple hours and you need to get some water. So I got me one of these little small regular bottles of water, just typical size bottles of water. He said, no, Brother Holtzclaw, you need the big one. I said, why do I need the big one? I only drink the small one. You're in the desert now. And it sucks the moisture out of everything. Can I tell you something? In this dead, dry, sinful, wicked, evil world, it'll suck your spiritualness out of you. But when you come and you open up the Word of God and you get on your knees and you talk to God and He comes to you and He shows you and He fills you, it is as a refreshing stream. He restores your soul. Oh, man. That's good right there, Brother Holtzclaw. Keep on going. I will. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He leadeth me. A shepherd leads. A shepherd does not herd from behind. A shepherd leads from the front. He leads from the front. He takes his staff and he walks and his sheep know his voice and they follow him. They follow him. And my friend, when we're in the presence of our shepherd and we're on our knees and we're in the Word and we're yielding ourselves to the good shepherd, we will see where He leads. For where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Will you? Will you? Will you? Will you from this point follow the Lord? Will you this point trust in Him? Will you this point from the next 4 weeks to come and leading up to revival? And revival can come if you'll just yield yourself to the Good Shepherd who wants to give you rest, who wants to give you peace, who wants to leave you by the still waters, who wants to restore your soul. He does. Don't you want it? And get in. Get in. He says here next, I like this. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me. But in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, many times we look on that and we just read right through it pretty quick and we think that He's leading us for our sake. But He's not leading us for our sake. He's leading us for His name's sake. Oh, that's a challenge right there, brother. I could stay here for the rest of the time and talk about why we need to be doing what we're doing, because we're not doing it for our name's sake. We're doing it for His name's sake. I strive to be a good boy for my Holtz Claw namesake. I strive to honor my father and honor my family and honor my girls by walking in the right path and not faltering and not changing and not turning and not crashing, my friend, and not being torn asunder by the things of this world. I'm doing my best. I'm striving for it. I'm not perfect, but I'm striving to be the best that I can be for them, for their future, and for my future, my family, past, for my name's sake. But oh, so much the more the path that the Lord has placed us on is for His name's sake. Folks look at us, they ought to see Him. When they see us in our journey, they ought to see Him. When they see us being refreshed, they ought to see Him. When they see us sleep in a peaceful slumber, they ought to see Him. Because He's leading us. So, Brother Holtzclaw, it's not always that way, I know. That's why the psalmist wrote more. He says here, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Have you been in that spot? Have you been in that spot of the shadow of death? This past week, we received word. Pastor received word of his father, his brother just passing away. His brother was walking through that shadow of the valley of death. Pastor, in a sense, is feeling a little bit of that, having to go to do the funeral, praying about what he needs to give to a sorrowful group of people that are in that shadow of death. And while it's in that shadow of death that we can see the Savior clear, when it's the darkest, the light shines brighter. When it's the darkest, the light shines brighter. And so here, you may be through into that valley of the shadow of death. You may be facing something or have had a loved one go through that, and you were in the midst of it and you had no way of helping or moving or maneuvering or doing things to make anything better but to trust Him. But to trust Him only. And He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou, the Shepherd, art with me." And that valley of the shadow of death is dark. Sheep cannot see where they're going in the dark. But the shepherd, he has these two things. It's called the rod and the staff. The rod is about this big, and it's sharp on the end. And the staff, we know, like the shepherd's staff, has a hook on it. But not only do they use the hook, they use the other end too. See, sometimes we may not know the direction fully where we're going, and it seems like we're walking in darkness, but you can trust the Good Shepherd to lead you in the right path. And though you may not see Him, you can feel Him. You can feel that poke. You can feel that tug. You can feel that tap. And at that moment, in the middle of your darkness, in the shadow of death, He's here. My Shepherd is here. I don't know about you, my friend. I don't know about you. But when I got in trouble as a kid and I didn't know which way to go, and I just was like, oh, what to do, what to do? And my daddy walked in and was like, my daddy can take care of me. My friend, can I tell you something? We have a greater Father up in heaven. A greater shepherd up in heaven can help you through any time of testing and trial by his rod and his staff. But aren't those for correction? They are, but they're comforting when you're in the middle of the dark. But he says in verse 5, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. And in that house of the Lord, my friend, there, as we are Christians now, as shepherds that were out in the field, the Lord has prepared for us a table. A table that is spread far and wide. You've seen those artist paintings of the banqueting table up in heaven. It seems to go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. We went to the Chinese buffet today, and that kind of seemed like it went on and on and on. But when we get to heaven, it's going to go on and on. And it's all going to be good. It's all going to be sweet. It's all going to be bad for us on earth, but it's going to be perfect for us in heaven. Don't have to worry about calories up in heaven. Don't have to worry about fat grams up in heaven. Don't have to worry about those cholesterols, amen? Give me that fat back up there. Oh, yeah. Fry it up again. That's not greasy enough. Amen. Can you picture? Can I give you a picture? And we'll get into our cups. There's the fact that, you know, the Lord is our shepherd. And the Lord does want us. And the Lord does want us to be refreshed. And the Lord does want us to be able to make it through those dark times. And my friend, even now, we already have a banqueting table set before us. Peace, love, joy, long-suffering, temperance, meekness. Oh, my friend, we have the fruits of the Spirit to share with one another. We have a place that we can come in church. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we have the Word of God. This alone is a feast of which we should banquet upon. And my friend, as he's coming in, the shepherd is coming in from the field. He's thirsty. He's tired. And my friend, you may be thirsty and you may be tired, but the Lord, my friend, has set a table for you to come and dine, he says. But where's this table, Brother Bob? This table's in the presence of mine enemies. Your name sitting right there, Bob. That's mine! Sit down. And his enemies are all looking without. Their name's not there. But yours is. And you sit down. If you're like Bob, you look at your enemy and you go, I'll show you. Can you imagine us going to that banqueting table and there being that cup? There's that cup. And he places it as a good host, for the Lord is a good host. And I've been at some beautiful tables. I've been at some wonderful tables to where they've had three forks and several spoons and a couple knives and things above and things below and plates stacked up on top of each other. Well, how do you do all those things at one time? You start from the out and you work in, and the top go down. And as soon as you're done with one course, they come and they pick it and they take it away. So don't worry about it. But there is this cup that sits there. And you come in, you're thirsty as can be, and you've got your cup, and it's sitting right there, and the good Lord, the righteous host, comes, and he has a pitcher of this cool, refreshing water, and he pours it into your cup to fill you up. Now, we can be good hosts, too. Sometimes we can be sneaky hosts, too. We can be. You know, I mean, it's just sometimes our sinful nature. Now, Miss Chris, sometimes she can be kind of persnickety that way. And go to her house, she's always taking care of me. I have no complaints. I just need to pick on somebody, so I'm going to pick on Miss Chris because she can hear me downstairs, and presently she can't throw anything at me. Amen? So, but to go to Miss Chris, she'll get me later, I'm sure. But Miss Chris, you go to Miss Chris' house, and you're thirsty. Miss Chris, can I have a drink of water? Sure. Where's your cup? Here's my cup. And she just gives me that much. Is that a good host? No. How about half a cup? No. But what do? We fill it almost to the top. But we don't even go to the top. Miss Chris would. She probably would pour it in there so much to the top that this little water bubble kind of forms. You know what I'm talking about? The little water bubble right there. As soon as you grab it, it spills on you. Or you got to be rude, crude, and go tip it off the top. Amen? But can I tell you something? That may be something that we do, but that's not what the Lord does. The Lord fills our cup. The Lord fills it up. And He fills it to overflowing. Because that's what He does. That's what He does. He just doesn't give you enough. He gives you more than enough. More than what you need. More in abundance. See, he did it through the Scriptures. I want you to see some passages of Scripture on where He didn't just give. He did little. He gave a lot. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Turn there. Come on. Come on. I don't get all night. It's almost 8 o'clock, so we got to go. Pastor told me to get done by 8 o'clock. We're going to get done. Or was that 9 o'clock? No, that was midnight. That was midnight. Anyways, I want you to see this truth. Just an expository, walking through the Scriptures, seeing what the Good Shepherd has for us. Because He wants your cup to be filled. He wants your cup to be overflowing. It's just what He does. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4, we find it says here, "Now when He had left speaking, He said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.'" Go, let's go fishing again. Simon, let's go fishing again. Hey, no, we don't. I've been on toil all night. Verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to what? Sink. He just didn't give them fish. He gave them more fish and a broken net, not nets. When I have a broken net, usually most of my fish go away. They get out. But this net, I guess these were dumb fish because they stayed in. How many stayed in? Enough to sink their boat. But not to sink their boat over. They said, hey, can you come over here? We got more. Can you bring your boat over here to help us? And a second boat they filled to where they were both about to sink. That's like Jesus. That's just like Jesus. That's what He does. He just doesn't fill you. He wants to fill you to overflowing. Just like He did there. How about over in Mark? Open your Bible to Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2. In verse number 9, it says this in Mark chapter 2. He says, "Whether is it easy to say of the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise up and take up thy bed and walk?' But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, He saith to the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house.' And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" He just didn't heal the man. He told the man that was down, that had been down, and that had never moved his legs, and atrophy for many years, but now he's saying, "Rise up and walk." Not only did he rise up and walk, and they're healing, but now his muscles have tone, and the sinews have connection, and it's not... He stood up. Knowing that he stand up, he grabbed his bed. He picked up his own bed, tossed it on his shoulder, and he walked out.
He didn't just heal the man. He gave them the strength that he needed to pick up his own burden and go. Isn't that just like Jesus? When Jesus helps you through a problem and helps you through a time of trouble and he gives you that answer and he gives you that hope, not only can you stand up and throw those shoulders back, you can now carry that burden and go on. But can I tell you something? It just didn't affect him. All these others were watching and seeing what was going on, and they glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion. It was overflowing unto them too." And all that God had. How about Matthew chapter 15, verse number 36 through 38. Matthew 15, and the loaves and the fishes, and he took seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples and to the multitude, and they did all eat and were all filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, seven baskets full. And when they did eat, were 4,000 men besides women and children. Not just enough, but seven baskets more. How about the feeding of the five loaves and two fishes? There were 12 baskets left over. You would think the Lord Jesus would know how much they needed. You would think that he would know that they only need to feed so many. So much food was it. But he gave more to prove that it wasn't just something. It was a miracle. It was supernatural. It was something that only he can do. Because that's what he does. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. John chapter 14, verse 13 says this, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." In this passage it says, "That I will do, that will I do." It says that, and if you look at it, you dissect it, it comes down to where whatever it may be, Jesus can do it. There is no answer. Jesus can make an answer. There's no way we're going to get this money. The money can show up. There's no way God's going to bring healing. Healing can come. There's no way this can happen. There's no way that can happen. Give it to God. Trust and faith. Believing, lift up your cup and say, "Lord, fill it up and make me whole." But what happens with our cup is the fact that we're empty. We're empty. We don't have revival because we're empty. We can walk up and down the pews and look in people's cups. And I can tell you something, I walked up and down every pew of your cups and they are all empty. Except her, she's got stuff in her. But if we were to say this cup represents the blessings of the Lord that God's given you, how full would your cup be? A little? That way? A lot? Overflowing? You see, when you come to an old-fashioned altar and your cup is empty and you yield yourself to the good shepherd and saying, "Lord, I'm empty. I need refreshing. I need a rest. I need some hope. I'm walking through this valley of the shadow of darkness, and I need to feel your rod, and I need to feel your staff." And we come to that old altar before the Lord, and our cup is empty, or maybe it's filled, but it's filled with junk. It's filled with other stuff. And you come to that old-fashioned altar, and you pour out the junk, and you lift it up to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm nothing. I'm just a little sheep that deserves nothing, but thou art the Savior, thou art the great shepherd, thou art my Creator, thou art my Lord, and I lift my cup unto you, dear Lord. Meet this need. Dear Lord, I pray for a blessing. I pray to be a blessing." And all of a sudden, you feel something coming down your hand and something coming down your arm. And you're like, "What is that?" And you look, and your cup is overflowing. Because you poured your heart to the Lord and you've gotten things right and it's overflowing. Pastor, can you help me? This is overflowing. Can you pretend? Amen. This is overflowing. Can you help me? Is your cup, you got a cup there? And he puts his cup out and overflows and it can fill his cup too. And now his cup is overflowing. And he's saying, wait a minute. That blessing is blessing me too. And us together, he finds another cup. And I find another cup. And I find another cup. Look what God's doing in our lives. Look what God's doing in the revival meetings. Look what God's doing across America. Look what God's doing in churches. Look how God's seeing souls saved again. Look and see what God's doing. Lord, thank you. Please don't stop the blessings from coming. Please, lift it up, fill it up, and let it flow. Before that can happen, my friend, it's revival. Before that can happen, there must first be an emptying and a trusting in the Savior. Unique message. But can I encourage you tonight to look at your cup and to see what's in your cup and what's preventing you from having revival and what's preventing you from seeing God's blessing upon your heart and life and the life of your family, with every head bowed and every eye closed tonight? Can I encourage you to bring your cup to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, fill it up? Symbolically, whatever the case may be, but to bring your old little cup, yours or otherwise, pour it out at the old-fashioned altar again and lift it up to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm dry. I'm thirsty. I need a touch from you. Lord, I need the good shepherd to help. I need the Lord's good shepherd to lead in this direction. And Lord, tonight, I don't want to be in the way. Dear Lord, tonight, I don't want my heart to be cold anymore. Dear Lord, tonight, this sin that I've been committing, and dear Lord, these things that I've been involved in, and dear Lord, these things that I've allowed to get in the way tonight, I want to pour them out before Thee. Pour them out before the Lord. And then turn your cup over and give thanks. Heavenly Father, Lord, lead this invitation tonight as, dear Lord, as we strive for revival, we pray for revival. Dear Lord, help us to do everything that we need to do to be ready for revival. For if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Lord, tonight, help this church. Help these folks, dear Lord, in their heart and their life, dear Lord, tonight, to recommit again to following you, the good shepherd. Bless this invitation, we pray. In Jesus' name, with our heads bowed and eyes